But I do want to introduce my first guest, who I found loitering basically outside on Michigan Avenue. He's a comedian. He's a journalist. He's a producer. He's a TV writer. He wrote for Joan Rivers and Howie Mandel. My friend, Victor Cohen.
Hey, how are you?
Good. It's good to see you.
And yes. Yeah, great
so
to see you.
It's a nice summer night. It's kind of sad, isn't it? That I always feel like in August, it's just, although it's beautiful, I feel like it's the end. And I feel those little leaves just start to trickle down just a little bit, foreshadowing what we know is coming.
Oh, but it was like 90 out or something.
I know, but I guess I'm a little negative when it comes to the season ending because I love summer so
much. Yeah, it's been great. It's been my first summer back in like years, 27 years.
Having been in California where
right.
Everything's always perfect and beautiful.
Well, not exactly. Well, that's because of plastic surgery. Oh. I mean, it's not really perfect. It just looks that way.
Yeah.
Even the trees are fake.
Yeah, is that right?
Everything.
Hey, did you read about this? I saw that in Denmark, they are trying to breed a tree that is glow-in-the-dark. They think that they have the ability to develop a tree that, by virtue of its, you know, its type, will grow and will be a glow in the dark. So it will take in the sun during the day and it will be sort of solar powered at night.
It's a great idea.
Can you imagine?
I've been thinking we've needed this for years. Actually, you know, when people are texting, it's great because you're never really looking up.
Right.
So if it's a glow-in-the-dark tree, you will not walk in the tree.
Yeah.
I would buy one.
And that'll put away, like, I mean, we don't even need light, you know, street lights anymore. We just have trees that are lit up.
Well,
I like that idea.
I think that they need to start coming up with something to control the weather. Like, I can't figure out, we have so much science, why can't we make it just rain when we want?
That,
you know?
And especially in California where the fires are going crazy.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, take the floods that are going on in the east and kind of transfer them over to where the fires are.
Shouldn't we be able to do that? What's wrong with you people who are scientific? Get to work!
Now, Victor, I want to tell you something. This is something that I was talking to Brian about. A professor at Yale is teaching the most popular course ever in the history of the school and one of the most talked about courses in the United States. It's called Psych 157, The Psychology and the Good Life. And it's students apparently are overwhelmed, stressed, anxious, depressed.
Mm-hmm.
52% feel hopeless. 39% they have suffered from such severe depression in the last year that they have found it impossible to function. So this course is designed to create positive energy, positive psychology in how to change behavior to be happy.
So it's just a class on how to be happy.
That's it.
And you have to pay for that.
And you do. You have to pay for it. But I want to talk about that on the other side. And if anyone has any questions or what do you think about this class? Would you take a class on how to be happy? Why do you think kids are so sad? And I think we should get to what really does make you happy.
It's the tuition.
Well, yeah,
it's like 30,000, or what is it, like 100,000 a year?
Yeah, but these kids aren't really paying it, aren't they? They're getting it from their parents or taking out student loans. It's when the student loans hit, that's when you should be depressed.
Yeah, seriously.
For a while. Anyway, yeah. You're listening to the Karen Conti Show. When we come back, we're going to be talking more happiness with Victor Cohen. You're listening to WGN.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel.
Okay, I'm talking
like
about this class that Yale is putting on. It's a class on how to be happy. And the teacher says that 50% of your happiness is genetic. 10% of circumstances, like someone just died or you're in poverty or something terrible happened to you, that's 10% of it. But 40%, according to the teacher, are things that you could control, and thoughts and actions and attitudes can change your happiness level. And here I'm talking to Vic Cohen, my friend, who's a happy guy. You're a happy guy.
Anytime I'm with you, Karen, I'm like oozing with happiness.
It's thick in here.
No, seriously.
Here. Yeah.
No, here's the deal with happiness. It's a mistake to ever be too happy. Because, you know, those people are so fake. Like, if someone's over the top happy.
Right.
You know, you got to keep it real. Like, you can't have every day be just like smiling and, right? Don't you think?
Right. But don't you ever, like, I don't get sad really a lot. I am a very happy person. I think it's genetic.
Well, we're going to find out because we both took a test.
We both took a test.
We don't know each other's scores, but...
And actually, I'm going to tell you this. At the end of the show, my producer's going to post the link to the test that you can take. It's a Yale test that all the students get to take about, are you happy? And it's a really interesting... The questions are very interesting, and they're geared toward the end of kind of rating where you rank on this. But listen, sometimes, like, I get upset about something. Maybe I had a bad day at work or something didn't go the way I wanted it to. Whatever. We've all had it, right? And I just find that if I smile at people, like stupidly in the elevator and say hello and talk to people, and, you know, I had this happen this week where there was a young gentleman with a camera and I was coming back from lunch and he, I said, you know, what are you doing at lunch? He goes, I'm taking pictures of alleys. We post these things. I have this art gallery where I do this. And he was so happy. And by the time I got off the elevator going up to my floor, I was completely happy because he was so happy, you know? So that doesn't take much, though.
No, and also you made him happy. You know, it's like I love making people happy. You know, like it is a good feeling.
So, I mean, I guess. Oh, the other thing in this class that I thought was really funny is that the teacher is standing by the door, and the kids come for the class. And the teacher says, "All right, class is canceled today. You have an hour to do whatever you want that's going to make you happy." And the kids go. And they come back and they report on what made them happy, which is like, it's a great blow off class, isn't it?
Oh, it's the best. Yeah.
Why didn't I have teachers like that?
That's why it's so popular.
But part of the class also, you learn that there was a study done that if you give someone $40 and you say, go out and buy something material or take that $40 and use it for something else, like going out with a friend or go to a movie, whatever it is, that the people who didn't use it on material things were way more happier than the person who bought something material. Does that surprise you?
No, so what were the people that were buying non-material things? Like what?
No, like an experience, like going out for a drink with someone or coffee with someone or, you know, using it for something that's more of an experience rather than a tangible thing.
Yeah, like you were talking about this guy who takes pictures of alleys, you know. okay, but like I love taking pictures of Chicago and it makes me happy because what it does is it puts me right in the moment. And when I'm looking in the camera, I have no choice but to be in that moment. I'm framing that photo and I'm taking in life right that second. And that feels good.
Well, it's also creative. And I think people like you, and to some extent, a person like me, I'm not as maybe creative brained as you are. But I mean, when you're doing something creative, whether it's writing something for a show or doing something funny or making a speech, whatever it is, I think that it stokes something in you that makes you happy if you're wired that way.
I think like also some people believe that, you know, one has to be famous. Some people believe this, like to be recognized, and that's the sign of success by influence, making you know, the masses happy. But my feeling is that it's really just if I believe if anyone can just make one person smile, it's like one person is the whole universe, as corny as that might sound. And that alone is just so special. And there's a ripple that happens.
Absolutely. But there are some people that I think will never be happy. And that's something that I have learned, you know, in the business that I'm in. I'm a lawyer. So do I have people who come to me who are not in a bad situation? Everybody is. They're getting divorced. They're going bankrupt. They've had a personal injury. You know, they've been charged with a crime. I mean, there's nobody who's in a happy situation. But what I find all the years I've been doing this, almost 32 years, is that there are some people can go through all of those horrible things and more and still be happy and content. Maybe not, you know, thrilled with what's going on, but still maintain that base of joy in daily activities. Whereas some people, I look and they have money, they have got beautiful children, and maybe their marriage didn't turn out, or maybe they have an issue, but they are permanently bitter, they're permanently sad, and they're permanently upset with the world.
Right. Well, yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me, but it's how you're wired and how you handle adversity.
Well, also, I mean, for me, some of the pitfalls that I would avoid to stay in a place of so that I don't go into a place of sadness or anger or whatever you call it, other than happiness, place other than happiness, is one would be acceptance, and accepting if something's not working, to be in acceptance about that and then take the action necessary to change it. What a lot of people do who end up just in resentment and anger is they're not in acceptance. They live in, why did this person do this? Why? And so self-pity is like quicksand, I believe. And it's very hard to have happiness.
Right. Well, and I think I'm going to say it the same thing, but a little differently. Instead of looking back, you know, look forward, you know, mm-hmm. because looking back, you know, that can make you very, very upset. We want to redo something. Why did this happen? Instead of just accepting it and moving forward. And I think that's hard for people, you know, because again, I'm very sympathetic to my clients and I try to understand their sadness and I try to understand, but I also try to point them in the direction of positive. So if someone says, my marriage just failed, it's 20 years and oh my gosh, I'm going to have to leave my home. I tell them, let's think about planning your your life. Not, I can't plan your life, but right. but think about, where do you want to live? Maybe you want to downsize. Maybe that'll be happier for you because you don't have to mow the lawn. Your kids are going to be in college and you're going to have freedom. Maybe you're going to get a new job. And I mean, there's all kinds of things to look forward to, even when things are not right. going well.
And it starts, you know? And a big part of it is living in acceptance.
Yeah, absolutely. You know. We had a texter who said, regarding the happiness class, I think it's important to offer, as this country doesn't do a good job about mental health and insurance coverage, and it's going to get worse. And, you know, that's a good point. I think that there are, according to the class, 40% of all people have problems because of either genetics, they're wired in a way that makes them a little sad, maybe they're depressed, maybe they're anxious. Those are things that, you know, to some extent are medical and are physical. And I think our texter is right that we need to make sure that people who are sad, and it is a medical situation, that they're getting what they need, counseling and medicine otherwise.
Well, we took a test, you and I. We talked about this earlier in the day, and I thought maybe, I don't know, is this a good time to... I want to guess what your score is, but do you want to do that now, or do you have to do it later?
No, my score.
So don't tell me yet.
Okay.
This is the authentic happiness score, and it's from 0 to 5. Is that the one you
wanted? Yeah, that's the one I took, yes.
Okay, great. And I'm going to guess for you.
Yeah.
You are a 4.93.
You're real close, 4.46.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why not a 5?
That's
pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I think a lot of the questions were interesting. They were focused on being physically active. They were focused on being successful in life. Not that you're successful, but that you think you're successful.
Right.
I think that's a whole different thing.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, someone could say, you didn't do anything in your life. And I could say, well, I think I did. You know, so it's all very personal as to how you view your situation. What was your score?
Well, why don't you take a guess?
I think you're...
I'm walking around with
teeth. I think you're dark. I think you're 3.2.
You're close. Jerry, do you have any Jerry's here?
I find that I've known a lot of stand-up comedians, and they're the most depressed people on planet Earth. So I'm going to go with a 2.9.
Wow. Okay. If I were a 2.9, I'd be lying in bed right now, rocking back and forth, which I will be later, actually.
Instead of just sitting there rocking in the chair you are now.
That's true. Yeah. I'm a 3.46.
Okay.
And I was in a good mood when I took this. So,
well, you know, I think the class is very interesting. And someone just texted and said, how much does an average Yale grad make? And I want someone to Google that and call me back and tell me that, because maybe that would make them feel a little bit better about their lives.
Right.
So anyway.
We wrote down, separately, I don't know what's on your list, but I was curious, you know, we each wrote down some of the little things in life, because I think we both agree that the little things in life often bring happiness.
We have 10 seconds. I think spending time with my husband, I think being out in nature, being in the sunshine, having good food, reading a good book, being around animals, those are my little things. Give me yours, and then we're going to have to take a break.
Finding potato chips or Cheetos on the floor of my car.
No.
That makes me happy, and I will eat them, and I don't care how old they are, because that's how they were made. They were made to be eaten at any
time.
That's
so wrong.
That's how I am.
Okay, give me two more, and we're taking a break so people can throw up in their mouth.
When I find underpants in my underwear drawer when I think I'm out, that's
okay,
very exciting for me.
And
when
I
find that gefilte fish is on sale, and I got you a jar of gefilte fish
because
the Jewish holidays are coming up, $3.99 at Jewel and Island Park. This is normally $9.
Thank goodness I have a house in Wisconsin because I'm going to use this for bait.
This is for you.
Because I'm not eating that
yes,
stuff.
Yes, you are. I'm not. Your husband. Gefilte fish. It's
Vic Cohen.
Yehudas.
Vic Cohen, we may have you back, but
sweet
probably
gefilte
not.
Fish.
It's good stuff.
Okay.
It's the best.
And hey, Badish is getting it.
Yes.
Badish, I hear
this
you.
This is for you.
Nice. All right. The holidays are coming.
You take this.
All right.
And have a party.
All right. You're listening to the Karen Conti Show on WGN.